We're taking a little bit of a diversion tonight. I felt it would be healthy for us to look over to some of the resolutions that were passed at the AIBCI annual meeting. And these resolutions aren't something that are, again, binding on our church. The AIBCI is not our denominational head. No, our head is Christ. And we serve him directly. But as a fellowship of churches and a fellowship of churches that are striving to plant other churches here, it's a very appropriate thing to put out statements that deal with our doctrinal position, dealing with maybe some very contemporary issues and problems that our country is facing, and to explain it out. Frankly, I've had the privilege of serving with this committee for the last 2 years, and my goal and purpose has been, I want to provide material so that the men that are at the fellowship, the pastors at the fellowship, as they would take this back to their church, it would give them the food, the biblical food, to be able to explain these issues well to their church family so that their church would grow, would just be a place of growth for them. So we're not going to discuss numbers 1 through 4 here tonight. They are the, if I can put it this way, our thank yous, all right? That's very typical in an annual meeting like this of a group of people. Thank you to the support of the church that hosted it, and to Dr. Bob Jones for coming to speak, and the church planners, and Dr. Dick Nelson, our executive director. Then, number 5. So let's do this tonight. I want to take several volunteers to read some verses for us instead of us flipping pages, because these verses are important. So we'll take them one step at a time, one resolution at a time. But if you could look them up, and then when we come to them, when I ask you to read them, if you would read them for us. So who would read John 1:12 for me real quick? Just give me a hand in the air and someone would grab it. Sylvia, all right, John 1:12. And you can see I'm working right through resolution number 5. The reference is there. Who will take Ephesians 2:4-9? Thank you. Anna, Taylor. So here we go. Who will take Hebrews 11:10 and then verses 13-16? Dave, thank you. So those are 3 verses there, or 4 verses actually. And then the 1 Peter 2 section. Bill, thank you, all right? And we'll stop there and then we'll go on, and then let's all turn to Romans 13, all right? You folks that have those references, keep your finger in your references, but then we're all going to go to Romans 13. And it hasn't been that long ago that we've seen this, but it's always good for us to know that this is God's word saying it, not just simply the words of men. Okay, so let me do this. I'm going to read through the resolution, at least the first paragraph of it or so, and then we'll read over the scripture passages. In each of the resolutions, we give the biblical basis for our thoughts right away. As Baptists, we unashamedly say that we're people of the book. It grieves my heart, frankly. I've read resolutions from other fellowships and so forth, and there hasn't, or even our own, let me put it that way, even bluntly, and when there's not been scripture reference that in those resolutions, that grieves me, because wait a second, we're supposed to be people that draw all of our living and life based on the foundation of the Word of God. So this is critical for us to have the Word of God. The paragraph beginning in point number 5, whereas we recognize that though the believer's preeminent citizenship is in heaven by the gracious right of the new birth. So when did I gain my citizenship in heaven? When I got saved. Yet, all right, as we go past those references, and we'll read those references in just a minute, yet we are enjoined, commanded by our Lord to render the just dues of fear, honor, and obedience, and that's just among other responsibilities. There's some other responsibilities. We're to give fear, honor, and obedience to our civil authorities, right? So there's the first thought in our mind as we deal with what we've come to our conclusion all the way down to the word therefore. So let's read, first of all, John 1:12, talking about our preeminent citizenship, our most important citizenship is in heaven by right of the new birth. John 1:12. Praise the Lord. To them that received him, to them gave he the power. That's the word authority. It's the same word as authority. We have the authority as citizens of the kingdom of heaven the moment I receive Christ as my Savior. That's amazing. All the rights and privileges pertaining thereto. Have you ever heard that phrase before at all the graduations, right? Yes, we right now have eternal life. And that's our preeminent citizenship. In fact, we live the rest of our life in light of that citizenship. That takes preeminence, all right? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. Right, all right. So did you catch the middle verses there talking about that we are seated in heavenly places? That's our present condition right now. And if some of you remember those, when we preached through the whole book of Ephesians several years ago now, we talked about that as our present condition, though it has obviously a hope, and Paul references that in that passage. But our present condition is we are already considered by God, by Christ, our Savior, to be seated in heavenly places. That's kind of neat. That's our position of authority. That's our citizenship. Good. Hebrews chapter 11, that and all those verses, 10 and then 13 to 16. This is Abraham, by the way. I'm sorry. Excuse me for interrupting, Dave. Go ahead again.
Whose builder and maker is God? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city.
Amen. Again, here we have Abraham setting a wonderful example. He's seeking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And then we are called in those verses 13 to 16, all of us that pursue that same path, we are called pilgrims on this earth. That's a rich heritage that we have. We had pilgrims that came over to America, right? And they had some of the same pursuit and desire. They wanted a place where they could worship God, all right? Their eyes were set on a heavenly kingdom. Not that America is a heavenly kingdom, all right? But they sought a land here on this earth as they pilgrimed through this land, that they could serve God without anybody dictating the rights of conscience to them. And we should always consider ourselves, I'm only a stranger, I'm only a pilgrim here. Don't get too attached to this world. Okay, and then finally, the 1 Peter 2, 9 through 11. Good. All right. So again, strangers and pilgrims, we are now a people. Once we weren't once, but when we got saved, all right, received the mercy of God, we become people. And then he describes us as a nation. That's nation terms. All right. That's countries and state terms. And we are, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we are a nation. Isn't that something? So that's our preeminent citizenship. But we have, as we are pilgriming through this world, we have been enjoined or commanded by the Lord also to show fear, honor, and obedience to our civil authorities. So the citizen, I'm a citizen of the United States. My passport says so. My driver's license says so. All right. And I am supposed to, in honor to my God, I'm supposed to honor those that are in authority over me. All right. That's where we're at in Romans 13. Everyone look real quick. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And you say, well, what powers are you talking about? Well, we get down to verse 7, and we know, render therefore all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. He's talking about civil authority. They're the ones that want the taxes, all right, the tribute and the customs. They're the ones that set the tariffs, all those things. And we are to show respect and honor to them. They are the authority that God has placed, verse 1. They are the servants of God. I know that this goes against the grain to us, but our current president is a servant of God. Clearly not a believer. His life doesn't say that. But he is actually there, and I am willingly submitting to his authority, even though I don't like all the things that happen. But if he doesn't tell me to, if I'm not commanded by him to disobey God's word, that means I'm supposed to obey him, okay? Only when there's a conflict between my heavenly citizenship and the earthly citizenship, when the earthly citizenship says, you must disobey God, that's when I disobey man. But only then. So I must accept the fact that God has, even in this day and in this moment, allowed for the civil authority that he's placed in our lives that they are actually God's servants. They are actually helping us to allow us to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. Okay, those are the two verses I really wanted to point out from Romans chapter 13. So, in light of the fact that our preeminent citizenship is in heaven, but we have an earthly citizenship that we are to show fear and honor and obedience to, let's go on to the next paragraph then. Whereas, the United States Flag Code, Title 4, Section 4, and Title 36, Section 301, prescribe that citizens are to stand at attention, face the flag, and place their right hand over their heart when pledging allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, or during a rendition of the national anthem. And, whereas we desire to honor the noble character, liberty, justice, and unity of our republic as one nation under God, symbolized in Old Glory, and we desire to honor the courage and sacrifice of our military men and women, both past and present, who defend our liberties under the flag of the United States. Therefore, right, what are we going to do in light of all these truths now? So I'm going to obey the United States Flag Code. I want to give honor to the symbol of my liberty, the symbol of my justice, the symbol of our unity as a republic. Therefore, be it resolved, all right, I'm on that last paragraph, number 5. Therefore, be it resolved by the pastors and the messengers of the 48th Annual Meeting of the AIBCI, there's all the technical terms, all right, that we maintain the honor that is due the symbol of our earthly citizenship, following all proper protocol in respecting the flag of the United States. May God once again grant his blessing to our great nation. Dealing with the hubbub that's been over the flag issue, frankly, and the people kneeling at the playing of the national anthem, I will tell you that the flag code does not set up or prescribe any kind of punishment for a disobedience to the flag code. It's a code. It's meant to be protocol. But any citizen that's going to honor his country and his civil authority, we as Christians, as God has enjoined us, honor even our civil authority. This is most appropriate for us to honor our flag. Now, we have the unique privilege in our country to know that our flag symbolizes far more than just authority over us. It has, from its beginning, symbolized freedom and justice for all. And we have it as a part of our pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, all right? It stands for the republic that I'm a part of. One nation, under God. all these words are weeping with meaning, all right? Can I put it that way? They're oozing with great meaning. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty, justice for all. And that's what we honor when we follow the proper protocol. Shame on any Christian in our country that wouldn't do that. You say, well, would there come a day where I would dishonor the flag? Well, let me put it this way. I'm to give honor to whom honor is due. It's a hard pill for me to swallow sometimes when my government is not doing the things it should do. I understand that. But I can give them honor. Every time you walk through the New Testament, and every time, no exceptions, a Christian faces a wicked, ungodly leader, and what does he do? He never spits in his face, he never dishonors, he always speaks in the highest regard. Even when, for instance, Paul, before the Sanhedrin, when the high priest asks him to be smitten, you know, smite him, and Paul says, you ought to be smitten, thou whited wall, right? And then somebody sides Paul and says, don't you know you said something derogatory towards the high priest? And he said, and there's another clue that Paul had eyesight problems. He says, I didn't realize it was the high priest. I knew I heard him, but I see this blob back here, but I can't see. And it's written, thou shalt not speak evil of the leader of your people. And Paul quotes scripture immediately and says, forgive me. And we would look and say, well, he was being pretty honest. That guy was a whited wall. And yet he always showed respect. We need to honor and show respect for the liberties and the authority that's over us. So it's most proper and right for us, even with our American flag, to honor it properly. I'll never forget, as a junior higher one day, my dad and I were walking to a high school football game. We lived in our little town up in northern or central Wisconsin. We lived on the one block cul-de-sac that led to the high school town. And what happens on Friday nights in the fall season, the entire town shows up. And so Dad and I were walking down to the football game, and we were getting there just a little late. We were in the middle of the parking lot, dark parking lot. You know, it's dark at night. All the flags are on the field, all the lights are on the field. And they started playing the national anthem. And I was just kept on walking. My dad gripped my arm. I had to stand there, put my hand over my heart. Here I stand in the middle of the parking lot. Other people were kind of around. We're stopped. And Dad, being a soldier and being an honest American. And I'm so glad he did that. It taught me a lesson. All right, then put your hand over your heart, son, and you don't show any disrespect to that flag. The national anthem's being played. I know we're not in the stadium, but we're going to stop and respect it anyways. Amen. That's the way it should be. Okay, let's go on to number six. So real quick, let's look up these verses. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Yes, yes, done. And then Mark 16, 15. Who will do that? Jack, Mark 16, 15. All right. And then Gary, why don't you do Acts 1, 8. Acts 1, 8, those three verses. All right, let's read it then. Whereas we have been commissioned by our Lord to preach the gospel to every person and all nations. All right, let's read those verses then. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Yeah, right. Good. And then Mark 16, 15. Jack. That's a great verse, but that's not the right one. Amen. There we go. That's right. Thanks, Jack. And then Acts 1, 8. Amen. Good. So we have been given authority and also command, or we've been commissioned to preach the gospel. Now remember, we're citizens of another kingdom, and we are obeying our commander-in-chief. That's our job and our responsibility. Okay, so we've been commissioned by our Lord to preach the gospel to every person in all nations, and whereas I'm still in that first paragraph, we've read of and cherished the bold testimony of the New Testament church saints and our beloved Baptist forefathers, and we make mention of Acts chapter 4. That's where Peter healed the blind man at the beautiful gate, and he says, you know, they said you can't ever speak in that name anymore. And he says, well, you tell us whether we're supposed to obey God or not, but we're going to obey God, all right? We have to declare what we've seen, and that happens in chapter 5 as well. We will obey God rather than men. That's the references in Acts there. So in light of these things, the bold testimony of the New Testament church and our Baptist forefathers, our commission, and whereas, the last paragraph on that page, the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States recognizes the God-given rights of religion and its exercise, free speech, and peaceable assembly. Now on the backside, therefore, be it resolved by the pastors and messengers of the 48th annual meeting of the AIBCI that we continue to boldly proclaim the gospel and the whole counsel of the Word of God from our pulpits, in our local communities, and wherever we sojourn in this nation, no matter who may speak against us or persecute us. May we not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it alone will be the cause of spiritual awakening and a turning to righteousness in the state of Illinois and in our great nation. Now, I'm going to stop here tonight because I want us to take point number 7 is really important as well. But when we come back in a couple of weeks to this, we'll start with those references. But let me make a couple of comments. We had put this together before the elections, the point number 6. But does that negate in any way what we just said in resolution number 6? No, the reality is that we have been commissioned to boldly proclaim the gospel, the whole counsel of the Lord God, not just inside the church walls, but in our community and wherever we may sojourn in this nation. and frankly around the world. Why do we maintain it to our nation? Well, because we're talking specifically about the First Amendment rights. Not every country has First Amendment rights, you know. The freedom of religion and assembly and speech. That's a cherished amendment that we have to our Constitution to us. But within the United States, let's be faithful. Let's continue to boldly share it, because we may, and in fact, we mentioned it last week, those who are opposed to our religious freedoms haven't just kind of slithered away. Keep looking at the news, you can find that out. We may, under the new coming administration, still find ourselves facing persecution. We will. It's been a part of, if any of you have been believers for any length of time, even in the United States of America, you have faced the nasty words of our enemies. And you'll continue to face that. Don't let them bully you. Continue to be faithful to your commission. Continue to declare. So when we come back in a couple weeks and look at this again, you'll see these number of references in Acts and Romans. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I will continue to unashamedly declare and proclaim the gospel. So let us, folks, we have a cause to rejoice that there's been a reprieve from some of the strong movement against Christianity and religious freedom in our country. It appears as though the Lord's given us a brief moment of reprieve. Let us not fail to use that reprieve. Use it for God's glory. So, believer, you leave here tonight and you're going out in your normal routine of life. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Declare it. Unashamedly declare it. Let people know you're a Christian. God give you boldness and strength to do what's right. Okay, well, we'll stop there for the evening. Trust is helpful. So hang on to these. We will finish this up, Lord willing, in 2 weeks. Now, don't forget, next week of Thanksgiving, we're having a Tuesday night midweek service, our Pie and Praise service. We won't have a Wednesday night service. And then look forward to those testimonies. Think through this coming week. What are some things you can thank the Lord for over this past year? That we try to keep our attention and focus over His blessings over this past year that we can give Him thanks for at our Pie and Praise service. So look forward to that next week as well. Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. I pray that you would help us to continue to show the honor that's proper and right to even our civil authority. So that would include how we treat and respect our American flag. Lord, we do thank you for the liberty that you've given us in this land. And then even as we contemplate our commission and the example of our New Testament saints and even our Baptist forefathers who we've read in history, who unashamedly and boldly declared the gospel and the truth of God's word wherever they went, no matter who persecuted them or spoke against them. Lord, give us that kind of courage and that kind of boldness. May we be unashamed of our Savior. Lord, would you empower us by your Spirit to be that bold? May we, as a result of that, see people come to know Christ as their Savior and even become a part of our church. So give us courage this week to be faithful in our witness for you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have a good rest of the week. Talk to you later.